We're going to talk about how do you fuel your prayer life? How do you go from kind of like this stale prayer life where you feel like you're grinding gears to pray and have a relationship with God to where it really feels like it's fluid and it's flowing and it's vibrant and you have this deep connection with God? I remember when I was 16, I was at this prayer retreat. So I'll make a plug for our prayer retreat. Saturday, April 12th, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. It'll be at the LA Arboretum. And we'll do that together. It's fully paid by Enrich, so we just love you, have you come out, and we'll give lunch too. I was at this prayer retreat with our church, and I was 16, and I was sitting there. We were in this little chapel during worship, and God was just really pressing on my heart to surrender something. And I was like, no. And I was like fighting God, saying, I'm not going to surrender. I was really resisting. And it's coming towards the end, and the youth pastor was like, all right, we're gonna finish up this time, the worship. And he finished his song, and I had this moment of, I missed what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to surrender. I said, okay, if he plays one more song, I will surrender. He just starts playing through another song again, and I get on my knees, and I surrender. And right when I did that, I don't know how else to explain it to you, but I had this peace just like physically come and just rest on me. It was like God's peace, his presence came and rested on me. And from that point, my entire life changed there forward. I began to have this hunger for God and a hunger for the word and a thirst and a desire for prayer that transformed me. And when that happened to me, you know what I started doing? I had this boldness that came on me and I started to share Jesus with people just out in public. And I began to pray for people in public when I was 16. And I look back on my life and I say, that's where everything changed. When I was 16, when I surrendered to Jesus, I gave him permission and he gave me his spirit in a new way that transformed me from the inside out. So the key was his Holy Spirit that transformed my relationship with God and made it something that was real and tangible and fluid and connected. So we're going to look in the scriptures today. How do we as Christians, how do we as people who are seeking God or wanting to know God more, how do we have that deep connection with God where that is our normal existence? How do we do that? So I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles. And if you didn't bring a paper Bible and you want to borrow one, we can get some for you, or you can go grab one. Maybe Tim, if you want to grab some off the back table and hand them out if we need that. If you don't have a Bible, you can keep one of those. Or if you have one and you just need one for today, if you can return that. And there is definitely a dove. I think it's literally in the nest right there, like right above you. It's so funny. All right, we'll take it as a sign of the Holy Spirit. So open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. We're actually going to look at two Bible verses, but they're going to connect together. So Acts chapter 1. And if you're not sure where that's at in your Bible, if you go to the front of your Bible, there's a table of contents there, and it's under the New Testament. And then that will show you what page it starts on. The big numbers are chapters, and the little numbers are verses. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 1. I'm going to have you read verses 4 through 8. And the reason we have you read it yourself is because we just want to develop the habit of getting in the scriptures ourselves daily, so that when you do this here on Sunday morning, you can do this every day of your life and read the scriptures. So Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And when you read it, just say, what is God doing here and what are people doing here? So just ask about God and people and reflect on those two questions there. So Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And after a minute, I'll give us the next set of scriptures. So finish reading Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And then I want you to flip over a couple pages to the right. We'll look at chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. So Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And when you read that, just say, what is God up to here? And how is God interacting with people? And how are people interacting with God? So Acts chapter 8. Verses 14 through 17. So as you looked at these two sections of scriptures, you notice there's a major theme, and it's the person of the Holy Spirit. So we have God who is three persons, the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. God is one person, yet three distinct personalities as one. And God is one. God has always been and always will be, and God created everything. And so we see the Holy Spirit in this instance is taking center stage, especially as the church was starting in the book of Acts. So as we look over this, the theme of this will be the Holy Spirit is the fuel for your prayer life. The Holy Spirit is the fuel for your prayer life. So let's go back to chapter 1, and we'll break down these verses together. We'll look at verses 4 and 5. So once, when he was eating with them, talking about Jesus, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before." So John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So at this point, Jesus had lived about 33 years on the earth. And at the age of 30, he started his ministry. He commenced it with a 40-day fast, only drinking water. Satan came and tempted him in three significant ways that he overcame. And then he lived another 3 years, discipling specifically 12 people that he called by name. And then there were others that followed him as well at this time. Then at the end of those 33 years, he went to the cross. He willingly chose the cross because the Father asked him to go. And when he went on the cross, he died for the sins of the whole world. So if you choose to believe in Jesus and that he forgives your sins, then you're forgiven and you have that relationship with God. You go from religion to relationship. Not only did he die on the cross, but he actually rose from the dead. So he was dead fully for 3 days. Peter talks about he actually descended to hell and then he came back from the grave. So he actually went to hell on your behalf. So you will never have to go and be separated from God for eternity. And Jesus conquered hell and he conquered the grave. And so at this point, Jesus is preparing the disciples for what's coming next. Because Jesus is going to ascend to heaven. He's going to leave. So he's around for 40 more days. And he says, go to Jerusalem and wait, because the Father is going to send you what he promised. He promised the Holy Spirit. And so in John 14, 26 is where he says, the Father is going to send the Spirit, the Counselor, the Advocate, to be with you. So it's the Holy Spirit who's going to be sent. And so Jesus had to go, because Jesus in his physical body could only be at one place at one time. But when he gives us the Holy Spirit, he can be every place at one time with all of us, his church. This is why the Holy Spirit is so important. It's because the same Jesus you read in the scriptures is the same Jesus who comes to live inside of you when you believe in him. So he talks about this. He says, John baptized with water. So this is a baptism of repentance. But then he says, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So we were talking about this the other night. A couple of us were talking about the baptisms. So you got the baptism of water. So after you come to believe in Jesus, you're baptized in the water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This identifies you with Jesus and his death and resurrection. Makes a public proclamation that you are a believer in Jesus. And it's an expression of your covenant relationship with God. Then he says, I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. So just as you're baptized in water, he's going to send the Holy Spirit to come upon you. So we looked at this, Acts 1:8, right? So you'll receive the Holy Spirit that comes on you. So these are two of the baptisms that we see here in the scriptures. So jump into verses 6 through 8. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those times and dates and times, and they are not for you to know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the Holy Spirit will give you power to be an effective witness for Jesus. Now, how many of you have ever shared Jesus with someone else before? A couple of you? Right. How many of you, you're like, man, that went really well. I just felt the power of God. Someone came to Christ. JR, you got to lead someone to Christ this past week, which was powerful, right? And when I was doing the beginning, before I was 16, I was so ineffective. Like, I would share Jesus with people and nothing would happen. But that moment when I was 16, when the Spirit came on me, I was baptized in the Spirit, everything changed, and I received power to be an effective witness for Jesus. So when you receive the Holy Spirit in that way, you actually become an effective witness for Jesus. He gives you the power, because there is no way in your human ability that you can convince someone to believe in Jesus. I can't do it. You can't. None of us can do it. It's the Holy Spirit who has to open the person's heart to believe in Jesus. So our role is simply to present Jesus to people and then trust the Holy Spirit's going to work in their heart for them to believe in Jesus. So it's the Holy Spirit who does it. So when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you're going to receive power, and the purpose is to be a witness for Jesus. How many of you either have shared Jesus and you were like super nervous, or haven't yet because you're super nervous and you're like, oh man, that's a lot for me? So when you have the Holy Spirit come on you, you're going to receive boldness. I was at the Huntington Library this week. I was sitting there reading my book, and this guy's literally walking by, and he says this. He says, "I'm disabled, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm poor." And I look over, and he's like literally hobbling, trying to get after his adult daughter. And I'm like, I'm reading this book on about a missionary who, you know, is going out sharing Jesus, praying for people. I'm like, I gotta live this out. So I literally put everything in my backpack, and I walk after this guy, and he happened to stop to take a picture. And I said, "Hey, excuse me, sir." I said, "I was over there reading my book, and I heard you talking. You said you were disabled." And I was like, "What happened?" He's like, "Oh, when I was younger," and he's German. Like, there's a lot of international people there. He's like full German from Germany, a thick accent. He's like, "When I was younger, I had an injury in my foot, my ankle, and you kind of just like tore it apart." And I said, "I'm a Christian, and when I pray for people, Jesus heals them." Right when I said that, his adult daughter starts grabbing him and literally yelling almost the top of her lungs, "Let's go, get away from him." And I'm like, what a clash of light and darkness that's going on right there. And I said, "Sir," I said, "if I pray for you right now, Jesus will heal you." And he said to me, "That's impossible." I said, "Let me tell you, when I was younger, someone had pushed me and I hit down some stairs and my ankle caught the last stair and it snapped and it swelled up. It was very damaged for a long time. And I said, someone prayed for me and right there, Jesus healed me instantly. And now I have my ankle back again. I can hike, backpack, I can do whatever I want to do." And he said, "Okay, I have to go." I said, "Wait." I said, "4 seconds, I will pray for you right now." And at that point, his daughter literally tried like 3 or 4 times and he said, "Wait, I want to hear what he has to say." And so I prayed for him, a simple prayer in the name of Jesus to be healed. And I said, "As you walk, you will be healed." And he walked away. And I don't know if he got healed in that moment, but I believe that Jesus is going to heal that guy because he wanted to hear what I had to say. And I believe that Jesus was going to heal him. So I share that story because I had boldness. I literally had someone screaming, literally an arm's length away, kind of in my face, in his face, to get away from him, to leave, to not get prayer from this guy. But I had a boldness and a resolve, and it was because the Holy Spirit came upon me and was in my heart that I had that boldness and that resolve to stick through and to stand it out. So when you have a bold witness for Jesus, it's gonna be the Holy Spirit, and it won't be your own abilities. It'll be the Holy Spirit working in you and upon you. And if you saw this here in verse 8, everywhere, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. So that basically said, you're going to go everywhere. So it's like, hey, you're in Azusa, you're in the San Gabriel Valley, you're in SoCal, you're going to go to the U.S., you're going to go to the nations of the earth. Jesus says, there is nowhere off limits, nowhere off limits. You will tell people about me wherever you go. There's no place you go where, even if there's a sign that says, you can't tell people about Jesus here. That sign doesn't apply to heaven because you carry heaven with you. You can tell Jesus to anyone everywhere you go. And the idea is that there's no place left. We've gone every single place on the earth to every single person and they've heard about Jesus. So flip over to Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And this is where it gets practical. So you read Acts 1:8 and you're like, all right, the Holy Spirit comes on and you receive power. But what does this actually look like in a practical circumstance where this happens to people? So let's read verses 14 through 17. And the context here is Philip took Jesus seriously. He literally went to Samaria. So Jesus said, you're going to go to these places. Samaria is one of them. So Philip was like, I'm going. And he went to Samaria. So it's basically like someone showing up here in the San Gabriel Valley like we're doing. We start preaching about Jesus. And if you read before, like people are getting healed, set free from demons, like the gospel is being demonstrated in power. And then people actually start to believe in Jesus. So that's us here and us overtaking the San Gabriel Valley, which will happen as we go forward with the gospel and the kingdom of God. So many people are getting saved. So many people are starting to believe in Jesus that here's where we pick up. Verse 14 in chapter 8. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. So Philip went. Philip preached Jesus. People believed. There are so many people starting to believe. Jerusalem hears about it and they're like, hey, they need help in Samaria because there's so many people starting to believe. that Philip on his own, he can't do it. So they send some of the top people. They send Peter and John to go and help with the harvest, to help with this discipleship process. Because after people come to know Jesus for the first time, prior to that, it says that they got baptized, but then they need to receive the Holy Spirit, and then they need to learn how to obey Jesus. What does it mean to actually follow him with your whole life? So Peter and John show up, and this is what they do. There's probably believers in different places. They go, they take their physical hands, they put them on them, either the shoulders or their head, they just place their hands on them, and they start praying. You know what happens when they start praying? The Holy Spirit comes upon them. So remember Acts 1:8, Jesus said you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Because if you notice, they were already baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They'd already received baptism, but they hadn't received the Holy Spirit and power yet to be an effective witness. So you can see at some points there is a distinct separation of someone's physical baptism underwater and receiving the Holy Spirit and power. When you come to believe in Jesus for the first time, you receive the Holy Spirit to live inside of you, and you're saved. That can never be changed. Once you believe in Jesus, your salvation is secure because he holds you in his hand. And even if you doubt or you sin again, he holds you securely. Your salvation is secure. It can never be stripped away from you because Jesus is the one who's accomplished it. It's dependent upon him, not upon us. So after you believe, you receive the Holy Spirit to live in you, and then you get baptized, and then you begin to learn about obeying Jesus. And then sometimes there's this distinct experience where you receive the Holy Spirit coming upon you in power. And that's what happened when I was 16. Because I came to believe in Jesus when I was 12. I got baptized when I was 12. It was when I had that experience with God, when I surrendered myself to him in this specific area fully to him. Then the Holy Spirit came upon me in this peace. No one laid their hands on me, right? So there's no formula for any of this. Because God's going to work how God wants to work. But the Holy Spirit came on me. And in this scripture right here, we see Peter and John laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. A couple weeks ago, I was at an evangelism conference, and I was there and I was like, man, God, I want more of you. I don't feel hungry, but I'm here because I want more of you in my life. I want to grow and I want to receive something that would transform me. There was this missionary there. He'd gone to Mexico, planted churches among indigenous people groups, never heard about Jesus before. And a lot of them came to know Jesus, planting a ton of churches. Cartel put a hit on him and his family, so they eventually had to leave. Went down to Nicaragua. They started this revival that literally was a national revival. And I was like, this guy is the real deal. And he had a book signing, so I ended up just going, getting his book and have him sign it. And I asked two things. I said, him and his wife were there. I said, what advice do you have for someone who's starting out doing this church plant? You guys have been doing this for a long time. He said this. He just simply said, drill down in prayer and fasting and get into God's presence. That's what he told me to do. And I was like, amen, I'm gonna do that. And that's why we're drilling down into prayer and fasting. We've been doing that for months, and he just, you know, spoke that encouragement. It's affirming what we're already doing. And then I said, will you pray for me? So I was just standing there, and this is what he does. He just puts his hand right on my heart, and he says the word fire. And when he touched my heart, he physically touched my chest, but something behind his physical hand, literally, I felt it like hit me. And so it wasn't a physical, it was Jesus's hand in him. And he said, fire, I literally felt a physical, it was spiritual physical, fire begin to consume my heart. And this went on for about an hour. And after that, I was a changed person. I had this new level of boldness to share the gospel, this deeper hunger and fire and passion for Jesus that I had, it's just been multiplied from what I had before. And so I received the Spirit and power in a new way. And I've had three of these encounters like that have changed my life radically. And it's interesting because most of the time I'm not seeking these encounters with God. They have the Spirit come upon me this way. I'm just going after Jesus in my normal life, and he shows up and he touches my life. And so it says this in Luke 11:13, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So if you want more of God, ask the Father for more of the Holy Spirit to work in you and through you. Just ask for more of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, if you believe in him, rivers of living water will flow from your heart. And by this, he means the Holy Spirit. And so, man, if you got a desert in your heart, the rivers of living water aren't flowing, say, Jesus, fill me with more belief to believe in you. And I want these rivers of living water to be activated within me. Surrender is key. This is the main thing. It's about surrender. So remember I shared, I surrendered to Jesus when I was 16. I dropped to my knees. I surrendered when he asked me to surrender. It's all about surrender. Because look at this now gene right here. So maybe I'm partially surrendered, right? So it's about 3/4 full or so. And it kind of represents my own life. I'm drinking some of the water, doing my own thing. And the Holy Spirit's like, if you surrender, if you pour out your life, I will actually fill you with my life, and you'll receive power to be a witness, and you'll have such a close relationship with Jesus. And so if your life is like this Nalgene, check out this Nalgene, and all this water is stuff that you haven't surrendered, you're going your own way, and if you choose to empty out your Nalgene, water the grass over there, now the Holy Spirit has something to fill, because it's empty. So if you empty yourself through surrender, the Holy Spirit will say, ah, there is a vessel, there is a Nalgene bottle I can fill. So he's actually waiting for you to surrender and empty yourself so he can fill you. Surrender is key. So when you give up your life, what you receive in return is actually the life of Jesus in you. So when you die to yourself, then Jesus can resurrect within you and fill you. So the Holy Spirit is the fuel for your prayer life. It's the fuel for your relationship with God, your connection with Jesus, and having a fire for the living God to go and tell Jesus everywhere you go. So think of this analogy here. Y'all have seen a stream, right? So there's different types of streams, big, small. But the thing is, with all streams, water is flowing. But if debris falls in that stream, the water will either fully get stuck and not flow, or it might trickle through the debris. But if you remove the debris, then the water can flow more fully. So if you picture yourself like that stream, if you have all this debris in your life and in your soul that's there and it's clogging you up, then the Holy Spirit can't flow through you as freely. But if you allow Jesus to clean you out, so if you allow him to convict you of your sin, or you confess your sin to him, say, Jesus, I confess my sin. You repent of your sin, which means you choose to do the opposite. So if you're sinning a certain way, then you turn the other way and live the way that God says he's designed in scripture. So you turn from your sin, and we all got brokenness. How many of y'all had some people do some horrible things to you? Anyone? I got that in my past, right? The trauma, different things. If we allow Jesus to heal up that trauma and heal up that brokenness, it's removing debris from your life. And then at the core of its surrender, are you willing to surrender to Jesus your entire life, everything, the things he wants you to surrender? So when you do that, you get the debris cleared out of your life. And then the Spirit of God can come in like a flood and flow like a river through you. So at Enriched Church, you're like, what does this look like? How do we actually follow this way of discipleship? How do we follow Jesus and be his student? Sunday morning is we call this a training center. We don't want this to be a place where you come like a movie theater, but we actually want this to be like a CrossFit spiritual training center where we train you in all these different ways that you see going on. So the more you get plugged in, the more we'll integrate you and give you opportunities to train in different ways. We have what are called discovery Bible studies. So these are Bible studies for people who are interested about Jesus, who might not know him yet or new to the faith. We want to equip everybody and train everybody to do discovery Bible studies and start those with people who'd be interested. We have our discipleship tracks. We have 7 weeks of foundations of discipleship, which means 7 foundations of what does it mean to follow Jesus. And then another 7 more after that that deal with healing and wholeness. So that debris stuff, we study scriptures and it helps you get the debris out of your life. And then what you do is you take what you've been trained in and you go and find others and you begin to train them to follow Jesus. And so you can be a discovery Bible study leader, you can be a discipleship leader, and then some of you might even be church planters. You'll literally go and start other churches for what God wants you to do. So at the core of this, it's about getting a fire started. How do you get a fire started in your life? This could be one of those challenging things. Have you ever rubbed sticks together literally to like start a fire? Anyone? Okay, a couple people, so I did it. I don't know if I got the fire started, but I got smoke. It's hard, but once you get your fire started, it's so much easier to keep that fire burning. All you gotta do is just add fuel to it. And so what this is, the Holy Spirit is the fire starter. So the Holy Spirit will start that fire in you. If you don't have a hunger for God, you don't feel like you're on fire for Jesus, it's because you're probably not. And then you say, okay, you recognize your condition, right? Okay, I'm not, but I want it. So Holy Spirit, if you're the one who starts the fire in me, what do I need to do to allow you to start that fire and to fill me and to come upon me in power? So this is where spiritual conditioning is really important. So the Holy Spirit, right, is the one who ignites the fire, but you got to put fuel out there for the Holy Spirit to begin to catch fire. This is why it's so important for us every day to get into the Word of God and study Scripture. That's why we read Scripture on our own here through the Scripture, so you can learn, oh yeah, this is what it's like to read Scripture. This is how I find something in the Bible. This is some questions I can ask as I read the Word. That's why personal prayer is so important. And prayer is simply this, it's a conversation with Jesus. So you're talking with Jesus and you're hearing His voice in your life and you're following the lead of His Spirit. Fasting is another part of spiritual condition. We've talked about that quite a bit today already. Personal worship. So we got some great worship leaders here. I can't sing, so I'm in the back. No one can hear me. But man, just throw on some worship music when you're driving or in your own like prayer time with Jesus. Throw on worship music and just worship Him. Financial generosity is another huge one. When you look at Matthew 6, it actually says it's giving, prayer, and fasting are the main three that lock these together. So when you give financially to Jesus, it actually starts that flywheel spinning. And then you take all this and you begin to seed sow, which means as you go, you tell people about Jesus. So is there someone that you can pray with as you go? Is there someone that you can share with how Jesus has changed your life? Can you share the gospel story, God's story with someone and invite them to believe in Jesus for the first time? And then you start discipling others. How many of you have baptized someone before? How many of you have not baptized, but you want to baptize someone? A couple more hands? Yeah. And that's the goal, is that y'all get to do discipleship, because my role is simply to train everyone, to equip everyone to do this. So you get to go and make disciples and train them how to obey and follow Jesus. So the flywheel, get the flywheel spinning. Word, prayer, fasting, worship, financial generosity, seed sowing, and discipling others. And the Holy Spirit will take that fuel and He'll ignite it for you. So the Holy Spirit is the igniter of all this fuel. And please understand, this combination is unstoppable. Once you start this combination of your life of the Word, prayer, fasting, personal worship in your own secret place, financial generosity, seed sowing, and discipling others, nothing can stop it. The only thing that can stop it is you, if you stop doing it. Because once the Holy Spirit gets that spinning in you, it ignites that fire, it'll grab hold of your entire life. So here's some fire starter opportunities here. All right, how do I do this? How do I get the fire started? First, it comes down to surrender. If you surrender yourself, your whole life to Jesus, or anything that you've been holding on to that you know this needs to go to Jesus, it's gonna be a fire starter opportunity. Our first Friday prayer, so every first Friday of the month, we gather at our house right here in Azusa at 7 p.m. to pray for about an hour and a half. People are getting ignited in prayer. The third Friday of every month, we do a seed sowing training at 5:30 at the Covina Farmers Market. It's a really practical, easy way of how do you share Jesus with others. We have a kid's wheel with this table over here. We have a wheel on it. Kids spin it. It's a really easy way to talk with kids and parents about their life and about Jesus. Some of us go out literally on the street doing street seed sowing, street evangelism. And it's been cool to watch a couple people come out, learn it there, and then literally take it in their own life. And then when we meet for weekly discipleship, they're just flooding me with stories of how they're starting to do this in their own life. They just need to be able to see it and do it. We got our prayer retreat coming up. So the prayer retreat will be a huge fire starter. If you make time for that in your life, God will start a deeper fire in you. And then some discipleship, some boosters for this fire is our corporate fasting. So we did the January fast together, the Daniel fast for 21 days, some went 40. And then a monthly. So if you just start like, I'm gonna start with like a monthly fast. You know, when I'm gonna go to this first Friday prayer, I'm gonna fast with them, I'm gonna show up fasting and praying. That will start a fire in your life in a pretty powerful way. Sometimes we go to conferences. We went to a conference 2 weeks ago, invite anybody that was wanted to come. Those things will start and ignite fires in your life. So the Holy Spirit is the fuel for your prayer life, your relationship with Jesus, a deep connection with Him, and gives you the power to live on mission everywhere you go. He'll give you boldness to share Jesus with people. So this morning could be one of the most significant strategic days for Rich Church, as we say, okay, we see the Scriptures, and if the key is the Holy Spirit for us to ignite with fire and have power to be a bold witness, then that's what I want. If you want a relationship with Jesus where it doesn't feel like you're grinding gears or it feels hard or you feel disconnected from God, the Holy Spirit is the one who's like oil in your engine to allow those gears to function properly. Or instead of, twiddling sticks together to try and start a fire, he's just going to come over with a blowtorch and ignite the fuel that you've placed before him. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to do what the scriptures say. I want to take a couple minutes for us to surrender. So if there's anything in your life that you're like, man, Jesus has been pressing into this area, saying he wants this area of my life, and today you're willing to surrender it. I dropped to my knees when that happened because for me it was a physical expression of my inward reality of surrender. If you're just like, man, I'm going to hold my fists really tight like this, both of them together, and then when I surrender symbolically, I'm gonna open my hands, I'm going to let it go as a symbol of surrender. So it could be like the specific areas of your life, but it could be your whole life. If you're here today and you're like, I've never actually surrendered my life to Jesus, I know about him, maybe I've like had a religious background, but I actually want a relationship with Jesus today where I have this friendship with him, I'm connected, I believe in him. That can be your day too. And you can say, Jesus, give you my heart and give my life. I'm all in. Here I am. So let's take a few minutes as a community and allow God to speak to you through his Spirit. If there's anything he wants you to surrender, take some time to surrender, and then we'll go on to our next piece after that. And then it's just surrendering anything. If you're at a point where you're like, man, I want my fire started, say, Holy Spirit, Spirit, start the fire. I want to hunger for God. I want to know Jesus in a real tangible way. I want my prayer life ignited where I hear God's voice. Holy Spirit, I want this to be real. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you that hunger, that desire for that, and to prepare your heart to receive the more that he has for you. Because if you think you've arrived, you won't be hungry for more. But if you're like, okay, there's more, God will meet you at the edge of your hunger. So God will meet you at the edge of your hunger. Even if you just got like a little bit of hunger, say, God, I got a little bit of hunger. And I know you can take it and you can multiply it exponentially. So ask him for hunger for more of him. So here's what we're gonna do next. As you've prepared your heart through surrender and asking for more hunger. When I was at that conference, a missionary just placed his hands on me and prayed a simple prayer. And the Holy Spirit came upon me and transformed me. If you look here in Acts chapter 8, the church in Jerusalem sent John and Peter to place their hands on people and to pray for them. And they received the Holy Spirit. They received this hunger for God, this thirst for God, this desire for God that transformed their lives and ignited them to then to go everywhere to share about Jesus. That's what the rest of the book of Acts is about. So if you're in a place today where you're like, and I want to receive the Spirit in power, I want hunger for God, I want to receive this fire, whatever, everything we've been talking about, whatever it is for you that you're desiring from God today, what we're going to do is we're going to practice what the scriptures say. We're simply going to, I'm going to place my hands on you for prayer, just on your shoulder, or on your head, or just as you come up, and I'm going to ask that God gives you a hunger and he fills you with his Spirit. So if that's you today and you'd like to receive prayer as we're seeing in the scriptures, we're just going to practice what we're seeing in the scriptures, if that's you. Just go ahead and come and line up in front of the chairs up front, and you can just stand in front of those chairs. And then all I'm going to do is I'm just going to come by. I'm going to pray for anyone that wants prayer. So this is one of those moments where you're like, I got to stand up in front of people. Yeah, you got to be bold, because Jesus will give you what you are seeking, and he'll meet you at the edge of your hunger. So if you want prayer for more of God in your life, or greater hunger for him to receive the Spirit in this way, I'm going to invite you to come up and stand in the front row and just front of the chairs, and I'll come by and I'll pray for you and ask God to give you more hunger for him. I'm going to pray a prayer to close us out. And this is for those that will listen to this recording in the future. So if you are desiring more of a hunger for God, for the Spirit to come upon you in power to be an effective witness for Jesus, and receive his fire to fill and purify your heart and give you a zeal for God's presence and to seek and save the lost, if you listen to this, simply open your hands. Father, I ask that you cause your Spirit to come upon this person now. You would fill them, God, with your Spirit. And you would place your fire in their heart, or release the fire of God into your heart in Jesus' name, to purify your heart, to have a zeal for his presence, a hunger for him, a thirst for Jesus, in a zeal to seek and save the lost and make disciples. So Father, as we close out this time, we thank you for what you've done this morning. Would this be a pivotal morning that changes our individual destinies and our destiny of a rich church? To do what you did in Samaria, everybody came to believe, and we needed more laborers to help with the harvest because there were so many people coming to know Jesus that everybody here, I declare that you are a laborer in the harvest, that we need you to make disciples, and that you're Jesus's plan A, you're it. So Father, as we go, would you give us opportunities to tell people about Jesus everywhere we go? Father, thank you that you're going before us. Thank you that you're sending your angels with us to partner in the work of your kingdom and the gospel. Father, I ask your protection over everybody here, over their spouses, their kids, their loved ones, their roommates. Father, thank you that they're under the blood of Jesus. Father, thank you for your shield of protection. And I ask that you assign a legion of angels to each one here, to their kids and grandkids and their loved ones and roommates too. I declare blessing over your week in Jesus' name. Amen.